Glenn Doherty is the Chief Executive and Medical Director of the Tongan Health Society, which has two general practices in Onehunga and Panmure. The two practices care for some 6,000 enrolled patients and has at least 2,000 casual patients in its books. Around 94% of its enrolled patients are of Tongan descent. In this episode of the New Zealand Doctor podcast series Primary Thinking, we talk to Dr. Doherty about the Society's plans to build a general practice in Tonga. But first, we ask him what changes has he seen in primary care in the past decade.
I guess there has been a concerted effort on being more focused on Māori and Pacific health. That's one thing. And that's not just at our level, it's probably at a PHO and DHB and ministry level. I think there's been a shift from focusing just on health to looking at health and well-being. There's also been a focus on not just looking at clients as individuals, but looking at clients as part of families. Being the move from being patient-centric to whānau-centric has definitely been something that's been on a spectrum. I think there's been, in our case, a wider range of contracts being offered to address health and well-being for definitely Pacific. So that's come with increased number of contracts, increased revenue and increased services, so that's allowing us to address the needs of our communities better. I think there's been clearly more Pacific and Māori people in the health workforce, not only as practitioners but as managers and back office type people. So I guess that momentum helps that critical mass of addressing Māori and Pacific issues.
So what would you like to see in the primary healthcare sector?
I think you've got to start at the top. You've got to have a funding model that supports the initiatives in primary care. So if we're looking at moving away from being patient-centric to whānau-centric and moving towards more integrated contracting and packages of care for families, then you've got to have a funding model that supports that. So at the moment there's this sort of vertical ministry DHB PHO provider model, but what actually needs to happen is if we are truly going to be integrated, we've got to look at the other sectors that get involved with health and well-being. So that's housing, immigration, employment, education. And I'm not saying this model works for everybody, but for high needs communities like ours, there needs to be money ring fenced across those different votes. And that needs to be somehow packaged into a funding pool which providers like us can access. So it's integrative at that level as a funding model. And then the next step, I guess, is how do Pacific providers access it? Now, at the moment, we have PHOs as a mechanism of contracting and service development, but I don't know how effective PHOs are, really, in terms of adding value to what we do. My view is that organisations like ours in primary care can have a direct contracting relationship with the ministry or through some sort of crown contracting agency that looks after that dollar.
What do you think of the government's approach in primary care?
The ministry is on a pathway and a journey towards achieving outcome-focused care, integration, whānau-focused well-being. I mean, it's certainly on that pathway. In terms of what it needs to do, it also needs to look at providers like ourselves who've been around for nearly 20 years, and each year we're going cap in hand to the government for our funding. My view is that if you want enduring and sustainable solutions for communities like ours, you need to have a funding model that is not year to year. I mean, a 5-year funding model for an organisation that's got credentials, capacity and capability allows us to develop our services better and to have a better business model so that we're not worrying each year whether we've got enough money, one, to survive and two, to do the job.
What are the unique challenges of having a general practice caring for a specific demographic?
I think the key challenges we face are literacy issues, access issues and engagement and facilitation.
What are the non-clinical issues that your practice helps patients, and why is it important for you guys to help those patients out?
Yeah, beyond just purely health issues, if we're focusing on that well-being model, there are numbers of other matters, non-clinical usually matters, that affect us being effective in delivering services around their health. There is housing, and that's a huge issue for our people. Housing, immigration, those are probably the two biggest issues that our clients face. The others are employment, education, justice issues, and literacy issues around English. We provide navigation as a solution to that, where our frontline staff, who are all bilingual and Tongan speaking, are able to engage with families and navigate on their behalf through the maze of government departments. So we look at them just as importantly as the clinical things. And one has to happen before the other happens. So you need to get the non-clinical things out of the way before you can get more yield, I guess, in the health area. So,
do you mind telling me about your Tongan clinic?
We are looking at developing innovative ways to look after our non-resident clients. These clients are coming to New Zealand every 3 to 6 months to get medical and medical reviews and medications, and they're not getting them in Tonga. So they're coming to New Zealand to get them, largely because I guess they have a link with a family member or families here. So they come to New Zealand, they get their medication and their medical reviews, and then they go back home. And they also impact a lot on our day-to-day work program. So we've decided, how do we address this? How do we manage it? So we've thought about a two-part approach. One is actually setting up an outreach focus in Tonga. The natural progression of something like that for us is to have a satellite clinic in Tonga that has the same model of care and services that we provide here. And the point around that is to try to intervene at the earliest point of contact with potential clients. And I guess the overall thing is not only to address their care at an early point of contact, it's ultimately to address economic and disease burden in New Zealand when they eventually end up becoming our clients. It also allows us to have a more manageable non-resident cohort, so we're not getting them when they're too late. Mm. So we're working with PricewaterhouseCoopers and our board and myself to develop a business case to look at the financial viability of having a clinic in Tonga along the same as the ones we do here. So that would work practically by having a rotation of staff to Tonga from here to roll out that clinic.
Mm. How often do you go back to Tonga to do those clinics, and who goes with you?
Well, we've only just started this, so we'll have our third visit, which will be in November. Ultimately, this year we're doing two visits, but next year we'll be going every 3 months. Who goes with us? Well, last visit we had the Blind Foundation, a podiatrist, a diabetes nurse specialist, myself, a doctor, my clinical services manager, and we also had a support worker who was a policeman from Eewa who helped with the project as well. The Tongan Health Society funds them through sponsorship, through dividends we make on our interest, and through our surpluses. And also indirectly, it is a marketing strategy for people who are in Tonga, who are potentially going to come to New Zealand, to know that they are already engaged in a service that will continue when they come to New Zealand.
This is Reynold Castaneda for New Zealand Doctor.